T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
806 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with the first final out of the season here. Phillies win tonight 3-2 over the Atlanta Braves. They're 1-0. Gene Segura with a walk-off hit in 10 innings as the Phillies, look, they got off to a good start in this game. I thought Nola really pitched well. It feels like people always want to jump on Aaron Nola. And he gives up a run. He gives up a home run. It's like, see, he's not an ace. He stinks. He's 1B. Guys, he had 6 innings today against one of the baseball's best lineups. He gave up 2 runs. He made one really bad pitch in this game, and that was to Pablo Sandoval in a pinch hitting role. Boom, Pablo hit it out. But I thought Nola today was really good. 6 strikeouts, 0 walks. His command was there. Look, Nola is and has become one of baseball's best pitchers. We talked about him on the roundtable last night. I mean, if you want to line up the top 3 or 4 pitchers in baseball and say he's not as good as those guys, I'm not going to argue with you. But once you get past whatever names, Coles, DeGrom, obviously, Shane Bieber, like there's not many you're going to keep naming before I say Aaron Nola belongs in that group. He's a really good pitcher. His 4th consecutive opening day start for the Phillies, and he pitched well today. And then the bullpen really became the story after that, because the bullpen today, Bradley to Alvarado to Hector Neris to Connor Brogdon, 3 1/3 scoreless innings. Like, that's what we didn't get last year. 215-592-9494. And then I need your thoughts on the new extra inning rule, which really isn't so new, right? They put it in last year for the short season, but it is back for 2021. And I have a feeling it's going to stay forever. I mean, baseball kept it because fans, at least a lot of them, not everyone, everyone has their own opinion, but I don't think they left it in this year for health and safety reasons. Tucker, when you saw they were bringing back the extra inning rule, I don't think this is because, you know, there's still COVID out there. I think they left this in because people liked it.
Yeah, I think, you know, and traditionalists like you or me and a lot of our callers here, I get there's something romantic about an 18-inning game in the middle of August, right, when you have Vince Velasquez playing left field in the 18th inning, throwing people out at home, but when those are those games, there's also about a half dozen games that go 15 or 16 innings and nothing happens, and you get 2 strikeouts per inning and no one's putting a ball in play, right? Because everyone's swinging from their heels, and selfishly, we root for short games, right? We try and get them over so we can get to postgame and we can kind of move on. But I like it's wild to me that they introduce in overtime and extra innings that induces strategy, induces action, and people don't like it.
Yeah, that's what the game, the game is missing.
Hockey
those
moved
things
to 3-on-3 in overtime, and no one complained and said, this isn't hockey. They said, wow, this is great. This is a lot of fun. Baseball's done the same thing here, and people seem to have an issue with it.
Well, think about just what happened in the 10th inning, right? It was one inning with the new rule today. First time people in Philadelphia getting a chance to watch it live, 8,800 people there. In the 10th inning today, 2 things that were memorable and action plays happened. Roman Quinn throws out a runout to play. JT with the great tag. Boom, that's the top of the 10th. Bottom of the 10th, you get the strategy of how Brian Snicker is going to either walk Boehm or you know, pitch to Didi or walk Didi or going after Segura or whatever. That all happened in an inning and a walk-off hit, like one inning. If there's no runner on second base, none of those things might happen. I mean, you might just get up and down, you know, 3 guys up, 3 guys down, strikeouts, pop-ups, whatever in the top of the 10th. Maybe the Phillies don't score in the bottom. Heck, maybe the game's still going on. Like Tucker mentioned, this once in a while, there's that memorable game You know, there's the one 25 years ago or so that went to like 4:30 in the morning. There's the one, what was it, it was 2011, right? Wilson Valdez pitched in the 19th inning?
Yeah, I remember there was another game, I think 2010, where Roosevelt had to play left field and Raul Ibanez had to play first because Ryan Howard got ejected. But
those are the – and there was one with Trevor Plouffe in 18 on a rainy night against the Dodgers, hit a walk-off home run.
But we can remember these games because they're so few and far between.
Yes.
The memorable ones.
Right. Most – extra inning games, at least they had become very long, and I think very with you know a lot without action, pop ups, strikeouts, just you know bullpens taxed for no reason. I like the new rule. How about you guys? 215-592-9494. Let's go to Joe in Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Oh, this is me. What's up, guys?
Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. But I totally have to disagree with you. And this rule is terrible.
How come?
Well, first off, everybody's getting gypped. The pitcher's getting gypped. The fans are getting gypped. It's a ripoff. I mean, it's going to end the game. Let's face it. It's just to end the game.
Well, it is, right? It's to eliminate the 18-inning game. They don't want that anymore.
Yeah, but we're not in the 18th. We're in the 10th. How about started at the 12th? Started at the 13th?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, that's a fair kind of middle ground, right? Like, you're not saying don't ever do this. You just don't want to do it right away to start extras.
Yeah, that's just so terrible. Oh, my goodness. There's no such thing as extra innings anymore, it seems like. It seems like the game's over.
Well, right. I mean, because, you know, you're gonna get a run score. Like, it's almost impossible to give a team in the top of the 10th and the bottom of the 10th, the runner on second, no outs, and neither to score. Like, it's pretty hard to get to the 11th inning this way.
It's terrible. It ruins the game, and it's cheesy as hell.
So, but you didn't find it exciting, like Roman Quinn throwing a batter, a runner out, and then them winning on the walk-off?
Hey, brother, I got a warm affinity for the Phillies because I live in the burbs, but I'm a Yankees fan. So today, no, I wasn't feeling it.
Well, that's because your team lost. That's why. You lost the 10th inning.
Yeah.
That's because your team got a runner on third base, couldn't get him in. That's the problem. That's what happened today.
It was a tough play. Well, Talkman couldn't do nothing. He was out. He was dead to rights.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I watched that. Listen, Joe, I appreciate it. How about that? You know what? I feel like the 10th inning reaction we're going to get this year is going to be strictly based on if the Phillies win or lose, or if the caller's calling in that roots for another team, on if that guy's team won or lost. You love or hate this thing based on what happens.
I do like the idea of maybe starting it in the 11th or 12th.
Yeah, they could do that. Give one more inning.
Like, give them a chance to win it on their own merit before you start introducing that. Like, I do think that's a fair middle ground.
Yeah. I mean, actually, when they put it in last year, because, I mean, last year you could kind of nod along with the idea of why they were doing it. You know, the idea of let's spend less time together at the ballpark. You know, it was still very kind of early on in trying to bring sports back with the virus and trying to get through things, which obviously is not totally out of the picture because the Mets and Nationals were postponed not playing today or tomorrow because the Nationals have a couple players that are positive. So it's still part of things. But that's not why it's in this year. It's in this year because they thought it was exciting. They thought fans liked it. But obviously not everyone does. 215-592-9494. Phil's win, bullpen, very good today. 3 1/3 of scoreless baseball. And the Alvarado experience is going to be an adventure all year long. Like, there's no way. How many times do you think Alvarado goes 3 up, 3 down with, like, no strikeouts, no walks? Just simple, like, you know, contact to outs. It's not gonna
zero.
Yeah, it's not happening. He's all over the place today, but the one thing about him that's exciting is he has the stuff to get out of his own mistakes. Like, not many guys could throw like he throws. It's why the Phillies were obviously interested in a pitcher like him because, I mean, just he has that kind of stuff. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Everyone on the phone lines, we will get to all the calls here. Your reaction, Phillies win today 3-2. Nola was very good until the home run. Bullpen did the job, and Jeet Segura was the hero in the 10th inning. And we'll talk about the extra inning rule as well. 215-592-9494. Talk some Phils on Sports Radio 94 WIP. H24 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Phillies win 3-2. We'll call this an extended final out for the remainder of the evening show tonight. As we talk Phillies later on tonight, we will talk to Jack Fritz of the afternoon show, High Hopes. He comes on every Thursday at 9 to talk some baseball. So we'll do an opening day conversation with him. And later on, we'll react to the Sixers game. But right now, it's all Phillies because the Phillies win today 3-2, extra innings, a walk-off victory. I mean, there's not many more fun ways to start a season than a walk-off victory. Segura, who I think is properly in his the spot in the rotation that he's in, not rotation, lineup, like he's the seventh place hitter on this team. I think that's the right spot for him. I like all the other guys ahead of him where they are. But the one thing I like about Gene in that spot is he makes contact. He's not going to strike out. He's going to put the ball in play. And you always kind of have that where it's after you have the big hitters up, you know, four, five, six. Oftentimes you have runners left on base. And I think Segura can have big hits for this team just doing what he did today, which is putting the ball in play. And I mean, today he just chopped it over the third base. That was such a Gene Segura hit, wasn't it?
Were you shocked that they pitched to him?
Yes, because
I thought the Braves completely mismanaged that entire situation.
So did I. Now, the way I would have done it, now it ultimately ended up with Segura winning the game, so that could have backfired it the same way anyway. But they basically chose, like they had a runner on what, third base?
There's a runner on third base
one
and
out,
two outs.
Two outs, right. So they had the opportunity there to walk Didi and Segura. Well, they walked Didi, right? So they got to
Segura. Walked Didi to get first and third.
They could have loaded the bases because the guys on first and second don't matter. It's a tie game.
It fills the bases for force outs.
So they basically chose to pitch to Segura first and third, two outs, rather than Roman Quinn, bases loaded, two outs.
And I know Roman Quinn's speed would probably give most teams pause, but if the bases are loaded, you can go anywhere with the ball.
Right.
Right? If a ground ball to Austin Riley happens, he can step on third. That's the other issue I had. Austin Riley was playing way too far up.
The Braves, they've obviously been a really good team for years. I have never watched a game against the Braves, whether it's the Phillies, and we've played them a lot the last, you know, every year, obviously. But so the last three, 4 years when the Braves have been good, I've never watched one game. This is with Girardi, with Kapler, and felt like the Phillies were at the disadvantage in the dugout against Brian Snitker. I mean, I don't think that guy's very good in terms of strategy. I mean, obviously the players like him, and they got a good vibe, and they play hard and whatnot. But, I mean, Brian Snitker's not going to outmanage anybody. He's just like, I don't know what he's doing in that dugout.
No, the entire final sequence on that at bat, just between pitching Segura, between having Riley play even with the bag, when you have first and third and two outs, I thought was, I mean, they walked into that.
They did.
They as much as we want to talk about Gene Segura winning it, and you know, everyone's going to feel good after a walk-off, the Braves just completely botched the entire ending of that game.
Yeah, and look, the runner on second is obviously the impetus for all this, and I like it. 215-592-9494. But the one thing about the runner on second, it's such an advantage for the home team. The home team gets to finish the inning. So if you somehow get out of the top of the inning, which they did with Roman Quinn throwing out the runner at the plate, you're at such an advantage. I mean, you have a runner on second base, nobody out, in a true winning, you know, score a run and go home, a sudden death kind of situation. 215-592-9494. To react to the Phillies opening day win, and do you like the runner on second base extra innings? I know for a lot of people, for 8,800 of fans today, first chance to watch it in person. I love it. I think it's one of the best things baseball's come up with in a long time. Rich is in Sellersville. What's up, Rich?
How you doing, Joe?
Good, Rich. What are you thinking here?
I'm thinking I got to give a shout-out to your producer there. He knows exactly what's going on with the Phillies, that the Braves screwed that up. They should have walked.
They should have walked Segura. Rich, he's right. I mean, if I was managing the Braves, I would have.
He's the smartest one on the program.
Smartest one right there, Tucker.
But he's the youngest, though, probably, right?
He is. Yes, I'm an old man. But no, he's right. And I listen, if it was up to me, I would have walked Bohm and Didi.
Yeah, absolutely. You said before his play. That's the smartest thing to do. Okay, but I do got to disagree with the guy on second base, Joe. Your other caller said put the guy on first base. That makes more sense. You know, you could steal. Not on second base, though.
Well, on second base, it does add the layer of strategy to the game, though. Because do you bunt?
No, I thought first base would be, you know, you get a fast guy, you know, back in the Lou Brock day.
Yeah, but those guys don't really exist anymore. I mean,
well, they should.
Well, but that's a different story. I mean, we can't pretend they're there. Like,
okay.
Right. Some teams have a Roman Quinn, but most teams don't have base stealers, you know, any longer.
I know Ricky Henderson and all that stuff. But one other thing, back in like 1983, I believe, the Phillies played the Mets, and Dave Kingman hit a home run in like the bottom of the 17th. And I'll remember that to the day. And it's just one of those games.
See, we remember those. Like, that's a great one, right? The Kingman one, and we can remember Wilson Valdez pitching in the 19th inning, and Rich, appreciate the phone call. Appreciate your perspective. But here's the thing. Those are the outliers. You know what no one remembers? 15th or 14th inning, the game ends at midnight or 12:30. I'm here. Tucker's here. We're talking about it. You know, I don't know the number of people listening to the radio station at any particular time during the day, but obviously most people go to sleep, right? The average person has work the next day. They go to sleep. Like, we remember because it's cool, the games we were at. We remember the games that we actually stayed up and watched, but most extra inning games you go to sleep for. Now, this is opening day. No one was going to sleep at 7 o'clock at night, but like that's part of it too. How many people are actually consuming these cool moments we're even talking about?
Remember that Phillies Marlins game, like the end of 2019?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, it all runs together.
Yeah, I mean, they played, I think they were tied like 5-5 in the fifth inning, and neither team scored again until the 16th.
Oh, yeah.
They went like 11 innings without even scoring a run.
Memorable, right?
Vince Velasquez started the game. I think the first three innings took about 2 hours. I think I was here until about 2 a.m. on a Friday morning or a Saturday morning.
Was that the game they were? Well, what was then the one they lost the game to a Marlins when Velasquez started? They were winning like 7-0.
They were up 9-0. They blew a 9-run lead in like
lost.
The third inning.
And they lose like 21.
That was also a Friday night in the same season.
Yeah, the Phillies had some rough games against the Marlins. 215-592-9494. I love the extra inning rule. And today was a big day for the defense on this team. Now, look, Reese had a bad moment defensively. When I watch Rhys Hoskins play first base, you know what I think? I think designated hitter. Whenever it comes back, likely next year, he's a DH. That's what I think. But the defense today, from Alec Bohm snaring that ball down the line, to Roman Quinn throwing the batter out at home plate, the runner at home plate, to Didi Gregorius, the ninth inning, when that play was unbelievable. Over his shoulder? You don't see plays like that very often. So the defense today stood up. The bullpen 3 1/3. And I thought Nola, outside of one bad pitch to Pablo Sandoval, really pitched well. Let's talk to Steve, who is up on WIP. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good, Steve. What's up?
Driving home from the game.
You're here?
No, I'm only kidding around.
Oh, did you go to the Tampa-Miami game?
No, it was in Miami.
Okay.
I disagree with your previous callers. Baseball is embarrassed because hockey has a great overtime situation. Football's got a great time where each team's got a score, and the NBA's got a 5-minute overtime. Baseball's been dragging along for decades, and I think now with the pitcher has to pitch three batters and starting on a second, that's not baseball. If baseball really, really wants to get interesting, if the game is tied after nine innings, you have three batters from each team, you have a pitching coach come out, and have a home run contest, five outs for each batter.
You want a home run derby to end games?
After nine innings, you have three batters from each team. Most home runs win the game.
But that's not baseball. That's Mickey Mouse All-Star Weekend stuff.
What you have now, baseball, Joe.
No, this had strategy.
This is not baseball.
No, it is. It is because you have strategy now that enters the game.
No.
The manager has to make a decision.
Do you agree with having your pitcher has to pitch to three batters?
No, I don't like that.
Okay. You agree with have to have the infielders on the dirt instead of the grass?
I don't love the idea of changing the way teams play defense, but I do believe, Steve, they need to get more action in the game, and if that adds more action, I'm okay with it.
Well, a home run contest would add action.
Well, no,
sure.
But that's make-believe. That's artificial.
I know. That's what you have now. You have a make-believe game with make-believe owners, make-believe players, and a make-believe union that goes on strike every few years.
No, they haven't gone on strike since 94.
I know. I'm involved with youth baseball in Pennsylvania. And there's less and less kids year after year playing baseball.
Steve, I know that. And listen, it's a fair point, Steve. I always appreciate talking to you. Listen, last year in the World Series, I heard this. Theo Epstein did a podcast earlier this week with Jason Stark, and he said something that was, really, you hear this, and you're like, my goodness. Last year in the World Series, in Game 6, the World Series, the clincher for the Dodgers to win the World Series, the culmination of the season, the Dodgers, one of the premier teams in baseball, winning a championship. Do you know how long, on average, it was between balls that were put into play? Like, action. A baseball that actually went into the field of play. So not a walk, Not a strikeout, not a home run. On average last year in Game 6 of the World Series, it was 4 minutes between the ball going into the field. Like, that, it can't work. And I don't know if how much that correlates to why young kids aren't playing the game, but I know for me when I was a kid, I liked to watch baseball, and it made me want to learn how to play baseball. Like, that's the way I did. I watched very young, and I was like, I want to do this. I want to try to play. And then I played T-ball and Little League and whatever. But, like, that's a problem. So, yeah, look, is any of this stuff tradition the way we grew up with baseball? No, but guess what? You know what sport doesn't care about tradition? The NFL. You know what sport is, you know, flown by baseball a million times over? The NFL. Didn't they care about tradition? You can't even tackle in the NFL anymore, basically. You can't hit anybody. I mean, the NFL, the one thing about them that they are dead on about is tradition. Who cares? We're putting together a television product. We want people to watch. Baseball, I think, now realizes they have to do that. Now, I don't think everything they do is right, and I mean, some of the stuff's going to make us all uncomfortable. Like, really, they're going to do that now? But I think their head's finally in the right place. Like, all right, let's try to make more excitement and action in the game. And look, in the 10th inning tonight, whether you love or hate the rule, there was a runner thrown at the plate. There was a walk-off hit. There was legitimate, debatable strategy by the manager, and both Tucker and I believe Brian Snicker, the Braves manager, is a bozo. Like, all of this happened because of this rule. Otherwise, the game might still be going on. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Alex in Medford. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Alex, I'm doing well, buddy. What do you think? You're at the game tonight?
I was at the game, and the game started at 3. Around 3:30, I was in Philly, and I wasn't sure if I was going to the game yet. I pulled outside Citizens Bank Park. I went on StubHub, and they're still selling tickets for $38. Like, all right, what the heck? I got to go in now. So I went in behind first base side, 23rd row, got in at the third inning, and it was just great to be in that atmosphere again. I was at the last game of the 2019 season, and obviously it was a disappointing season, and same with last year. But just to be out there this year to start the season, walk-off hit, defense looked great. It was just a great experience.
Alex, you know it felt great to me just listening and watching here? The crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, you and the other, you know, almost 8,800 people. It felt like there was an atmosphere. And I know, you know, 8,800 in the grand scheme of things is a small number, right? You know, the stadium holds way, way more than that. But based on what we had last year, which was nothing, like, I felt it. I could hear it. You could feel it when Nola had a strikeout, when the ump made a bad call. Like, you could feel an atmosphere, which, you know, it was so cool because we didn't have that last year.
Absolutely. It wasn't cardboard cutouts. It was real people. We were booing. Umps made a couple bad calls. That play at third base with Harper, that's about when I got into the stadium. It was a bad call. They put it on the big screen, and it looked like he had his leg, but from the one angle, the tag didn't hit Harper's leg. He was in safe. And yeah, that could have produced a big inning if he was called safe for that and he stayed on third base. But, it was a great time.
Alex, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I've watched the Bryce Harper replay on that one a bunch of times. I still haven't seen one where I'm like, oh, he tagged him. Like, there's the angle from the other side, which I can't find that angle where maybe he tagged him. But the part about that was crazy is why the heck was it a two minute and 45 second replay? I mean, that's one of those things. Like, baseball wants to speed things up, wants more action, not downtime. You can't have 2 minutes and 45 seconds of a replay review. You know what people are going to do? They're going to change the channel. Like, that's just not going to work. Now, today was opening day. We were all locked in maybe more than usual. So people aren't going to turn away from the game with Bryce Harper maybe out or safe. But on a normal night, 2 minutes and 45 seconds, people are tuning away. Too long.
Oh, it's way too long. And I've never – it was odd that it came away so inconclusive. Like, we had two or three really good looks at it, and I still had no idea.
Yeah, the crazy part was, heading into the replay, I was like, oh, you're sure they're going to have to overturn this?
I mean, it looked like there was no way that he was able to reach him on that slide.
And then you're like, wait a second, what are they doing? It's that long. But it was a weird call. Ultimately, they win, so we're not, you know, losing our mind about it. Phillies win 3-2. The Segura walk-off hit. The defense, which, I mean, Reese almost took it to another direction, but the defense for the most part today, from Boehm with the dive, you know, the jump stab catch, which, I mean, he doesn't get to if he's not as tall as he is. Didi's catch over his shoulder, which was that's like a wide receiver in the NFL makes that kind of catch. And then in the top of the 10th, Roman Quinn, who does not have a very strong arm, but that was an accurate throw, a couple bounces to JT, and JT with the block there. A great defensive game by the Phillies outside of the one Reese mistake. And the bullpen really became the story. 3 1/3, zero runs, capped off by, you know, I think Alvarado was the most, like, wow, roller coaster, like, breathtaking, kind of good and bad. But I think what Brogdon did in the 10th to come in and get out of that inning without giving up a run, that was impressive. 215-592-9494. Phillies win 3-2. We'll continue to react. So our last caller brought up 2019. So the last game of 19 was the final, the last time we had people in the crowd. And I heard Scott Franci touch on this a little bit during the game. I want to go back and look at who played in that game, because it's amazing how much the Phillies have changed in just, I mean, I know it's two seasons, but like this one just started. That was the end of the one before. Like 500 days ago, the Phillies roster was so much different than the one we saw today. 215-592-9494 to hop in and react. Phillies win 3-2 on opening day. We'll react. Sports Radio 94 WIP. 847 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494 after a Phillies victory tonight over the Atlanta Braves. So tomorrow's an off day, which is always weird. We know why they do it. It's northeast. It's weather. It's cold. I mean, if you played the game yesterday, it would have been cold and rainy. Today, it wasn't really that bad, and the rain stopped pretty early this morning. But they had that built-in off day. It does kind of make it a weird anticlimactic. Like, yeah, baseball's back. Then we got a day off tomorrow. It is odd.
I get why they do it, and I know some people say, well, just play the second game as opening day, but then you're kind of cheating out the people who bought opening day tickets saying,
right,
sorry, your game's going to be made up the first part of a doubleheader the second week of May.
Yeah, that's not as fun.
That's kind of a ripoff, but it is anticlimactic, right? Like, we had 15 baseball games today, I guess 14, because the Nationals-Mets game got canceled, but then tomorrow there's, like, two, three.
Yeah, I think the only games tomorrow are, like, West Coast games or Dome Stadium games. Like, they kind of know the weather's not going to play a part. Everyone else has a day off tomorrow. So the Phillies will not play tomorrow. They're back at it Saturday against Atlanta. It's Wheeler Saturday, Eflin Sunday. Now, the Eflin start will be interesting just because, you know, he had the little back issue at the end of spring training, so hopefully he's all good to go. But today was a big win, a walk-off win, only the fourth walk-off in Phillies opening day history. The last time was 2011 against the Astros.
John Mayberry Jr. got that hit.
Yes, and the Astros stunk then. That was when the Phillies used to beat up on the NL version of the Astros.
Who was their GM back then?
That would be Ed Wade. And they were tanking their way on purpose. Well, actually, they fired Wade, and then they tanked on purpose when they hired Jeff Lunau, who I think's now
Ed Wade wasn't tanking on purpose.
No, he just was bad. And then they were like, well, we'll tank it, and then we'll figure it out. And it worked, and then they all got in trouble for cheating down there. 215-592-9494. Cashmere in Potsdam. What's up, Cashmere?
Hey, what's going on there, Joe? Joe, so what is better than an opening day Phillies victory?
Nothing.
No. Perfect. Perfect answer. Actually, no. One thing better would be better. Phillies postseason win. That would be better. That would supersede that.
You know what, Cashmere? I'm ready for baby steps here. Give me a winning record. You know, I'd love the playoffs, but give me a winning record for the first time in a decade around here.
Yes, I would like that first, but it was a great game. Nola, I thought, pitched really well. Now, I mean, I thought the wind kind of helped him a little bit there. I thought the wind helped him out with the Dansby Swanson ball.
I thought that was out.
That ball's 10 rows back in the seats. But I will say this, though, Joe, I look at the rosters, I actually do see that the Phillies can compete in this division. Are they the favorites? Of course not. But is it impossible? Is it absolutely no way, no chance in hell? Is it possible the Phillies can actually compete for the division or compete for a playoffs? Absolutely not. I really think that when you look at the Braves top to bottom, I really think they might have taken a step back this year. I know people are picking them to go to the World Series, but I'm actually picking them to take a step back because, Joe, they lost Shane Green. They lost Mark Melanson. They lost Darren O'Day.
They lost a lot. You're right. They lost a lot out of the bullpen, for sure.
Yep. They lost Adam Duvall. And honestly, yeah, they have Ian Anderson, and he looks like he was a rookie last year. But still, I mean, you know, we've seen it before where a lot of pitchers, you know, they'll have a really good first year, and then they'll kind of take a step back the second year.
Yeah, and they also, Cashman, they lost Markakis, who was a good veteran. And then also, it changed their whole defense, because last year with the DH, they were able to DH Ozuna the whole year, and Markakis, you know, was always a solid outfielder. So now they've gotten worse defensively, too.
And I was actually looking at their lineup. I was kind of like just trying to, because I'm a dork like that. I'm a geek. And I was actually looking at their lineup. I'm thinking to myself, Swanson? Let's see here. So after you get past the first three or four in that lineup, after you get past, you know, Okuna, Albies, Freeman, and Ozuna,
it's manageable.
I look at the rest of that lineup, and it's not too frightening. It doesn't look that frightening to me as it did last year. It looks like a lineup we can actually kind of navigate through, and I really think that the Phillies can kind of, I think they can compete in this division if they stay healthy, and if they can get comfortable starting pitching out of the 4-5, and their bullpen can be like it was today. I mean, obviously they're going to give up runs. We all know that.
Right.
But if they can be comparable, if they can be competent like they were today, Joe, I really think the Phillies can compete, not just for the division, but for a playoff. I really do.
They can compete. And here's the thing, Cashman. I always appreciate the phone call, and I think you're right on the Braves. I think they've taken a little bit of a step back. They were 35-25 last year, whatever the heck that winning percentage is. I don't think they're going to be that good over 162. But look, the Phillies can beat on the Phillies' best day, right? A NOLA day, a day where the bullpen will get outs. You can look at the Phillies and say they're just as good as any of these other teams. Like, forget the Dodgers for a second. They're in their own world. But, like, the Phillies really are on their best days when Nola pitches. You could line them up with anyone and say they could play with that team. The problem is the Braves have a lot of starting pitching depth. You know what the Braves don't have? The Braves don't have Chase Andersons. The Braves don't have Matt Moore's in their rotation. Like, they have a lot of good young starting pitch depth. And then, you know, they signed Charlie Morton and our old buddy Drew Smyly, who struck out like 14 guys per nine innings last year with the Giants. So, like, they have depth, young and veteran depth, that's better than the Phillies' depth. That's why they're the favorite. And like, that, it's not that the Phillies' one versus their one can't compete. We just saw it today. Like, Nola's just as good or better. I think he's better than Max Fried. Like, the Phillies can beat them at their best day. It's the depth. It's those other games. That's really what's going to decide the division. That's where the Phillies have stunk the last couple of years. They got to be better there. 215-592-9494. All right, on the other side, we'll take your phone calls, continue to react to the Phillies' victory here, and we'll speak to Jack Fritz, High Hopes Podcast. He joins us every Thursday night during baseball season. We'll chat with him about the game, his reaction, the bullpen. I mean, what did he call Alvarado the greatest reliever in Phillies history on this show a couple weeks ago?
Oh, did he?
Yeah, well, today he had some good, some great, and some not so great. So we'll discuss all that coming up. 215-592-9494. On Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.